Begin the current daf, Masech Tzvachim, daf Nun Hei. Begin on the bottom of Nundalma Beis, 7 lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, the theme of the previous Mishnah is discussing the topic of this parak, Ezeh Mukayman, where is the place of the karbanis that are known as kutch of the higher level karbanis that have more severe halachas, and continuing on the theme, which we spoke about Chatois and other karbanis, and Oila, now the Mishnah says, Zivchi Shalmi Tzibur, regarding the carbon shlomim of the tzibur, of the Jewish people, when do the Jewish people bring as a whole a shlomim? That's known as the kivsi atzeres, which is the lambs that are brought on shvuas, together with the shtei halechem. So regarding that carbon shlom of the tzibur, and the ashamis and the carbon asham, these are categorized as kachi kachim, and elohin ashamis, and these are the specifics of ashamis. Most sins are brought a karban chatas. There are those that are brought a asham, and they are asham gezeles, which is mentioned in Vayikra Perakei regarding what's known as shvuas hapikadon. If someone takes a false oath regarding having someone else's money, it turns out that he was really trying to steal it, and then it turns out that he was lying, so then he has to bring an asham for that theft. Asham me'ilois, which is if someone has benefit by misappropriating from hektish, he has to then bring a karban asham of me'ila, of misappropriation. Asham shifcha charuf, if someone has relations with a shifcha kananis, with a non-Jewish maidservant who is designated to be a mate for an eved ivri, for the Jewish slave, then he has to bring this asham of the shifcha charufa. Asham nazir, if a nazir unlawfully becomes tummy by coming in contact with a corpse, where the pasuk says v'hizla Hashem esimei nizrei b'med b'perek vav, so then part of his purification process he has to bring a karban asham. Asham mitzayra, which when someone has tzaras, by his purification process, he has to bring a karban asham. Asham toli, it's called a suspended karban asham. If someone is in doubt, if he erroneously violated an isser that is punishable by karas, or maybe he didn't sin at all, so that's brought in Vayikra right after the asham me'ilis. Now the Rashi says not to have the girsa asham vade, because all these other ones, besides the asham toli that we're mentioning, are the ones that are the definite karban ashams. So regarding the Zivchi Shalmi Tzibur, which is the one that's brought on Shavuos by the Tzibur, and these carbon ashams, Shchitasim Atzafin, these are Kachi Kachim, they're slaughtered in the north. The Kibul Daman Bechli Sharetz Batzafin, and the receiving of the blood, known as Kabbalah, is also done in the north. The Daman Toin Shtei Matan Shein Arba, their blood has to be thrown on the Mizbeach by two throwings, which are like four, as we said in the previous mission, like by Eila, because by the Asham, it also says, similarly, like by the Eila, that has to be a Zrika Saviv, because it says b'makom ha'yishchatu, the places where the carbon oil is thrown, that's where the carbon asham is, which, like we said, that's putting in the two diagonal corners, and we said that either like a gam, like a one splash that gets both sides, or to do on either side, but it's on these two corners that are going to hit the four walls of the mizbeach. V'nachalum lefanim v'naklom, and they're eaten within the area of the curtains of the azara of the Beis HaMikdash, like it says in but regarding the Karban Ashram in Parashas Kairach, it said L'chal HaShamam B'Kodesh HaKadoshim Techlen, in the holy place you have to eat it, which is in the Azara. And that's regarding the Ashram. Regarding the Zivchei Shalmi Tzibur, the Gemara is going to explain where do we know that it has to be eaten within the Klaim. And this is eaten L'Zivchei Chuna, only for the males of the Kahanim. L'chal Maichel, they could eat it in whatever way they want to. L'yem B'Laila, for a day and a night. Ad Chatzais, but it's only up until midnight, like we say in the opening Mishnah Masechta of Shas, to distance a person from sinning and not to eat it after the time of the morning. So the Gemara continues in Daf Nun Hei and Alf, asking him, Nolan de Bayit Safim, from where do we know that the Shalmi Tzibur needs to be done in the north? So this says the Gemara, the Tani Rabba Rav Chanan Kameh de Rava, he taught a braisa in front of Rava, quoting a pasuk in Meyikra. The pasuk says, regarding the Shtei HaLechem, which is the two breads that are brought on Shavuos, and with it are brought the Kivsei Atzeres, these lambs that are brought on Shavuos, as the end of the pasuk says, v'shnei chabasim, but the beginning of the pasuk says that v'asisim siri izim echa l'chatas, that you should make one he-goat as a karban chatas. And then the pasuk concludes, and there's going to be the two lambs that are in its first year that are going to be a karban shlam. Those are what, as we said, those are known as kivsei atzeres, which is this halach of the zivchei shalmei tzibur. So says the Braisa, Ma'achatas b'tzafan, just like the Karmachatas we know already, we established previous dafim, is done in the north, and the Pasuk is equating, it talks about the Karmachatas, and then the Kivsei Atzeres, Av Shalmei Tzibur b'tzafan, so it's also saying that the Shlamim of the Tzibur are also done in the north. On this interpretation, Amalei Rava asked back on him, and he says, V'chichatas m'heichan lamda, but where do you know that the Karmachatas is done in the north? Me'ayla, it's from a hekesh from the Ayla, as there's a Pasuk that equates Chatas to Ayla. On that asked Rava, Dama Halamad Behekish, can you have something that it itself is learned from a Hekish from a comparison, which is the Chatas from the Oila, Chayzim Alam Behekish? Could it now go ahead and learn regarding the Shalmi Tzibur from another Hekish because the Pasuk compares them by having them in the same Pasuk? We know that you can't. Dama Halamad Behekish cannot be Chayzim Alam Behekish. So Ella, rather, the Gemara brings a different interpretation. But the Tani Rav Mori Bered Rav Kani taught him a Braisa, quoting a Pasuk in Bamidbar. The Pasuk begins there in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud, says, on the day of your rejoicing and of your holidays and on your Rosh Chodashim, you're going to blow on the trumpets. Aloy Leisechem, when you're bringing your carbon Eilas, Vazivich HaShalmechem, and when you bring your carbon Shlam. Now, it has to be talked about that this Pasuk, when it refers to the Shlam, is the Zivche Shal Metzibur, which is the one Shlam that's brought by the Tzibur. Why? Because an individual carbon, if we were to say that this Shlam is referring to Karban Yachid, does not require the instruments to be played, because we only say the Shira, which is done with the instruments, on a Karban Tzibur, not on the Karban Yachid, as the Gemara says in Erech and Avyurim and Beis. So if this Pasuk is talking about playing the trumpets on the Zivche Shal Mechem, it must be referring to the Zivche Shal Metzibur that's brought on Shavuos. And the Pasuk's equating Oyle Sechem to Shal Mechem, which teaches us Ma Oyle Kutche Kutchem, just like the Karban Oyle, we know that it's considered from the higher category of Karbanas, where it lets it become possible by when the Tful Yoyim touches it or when it leaves the area where it's allowed to be. So Zivche Shal Metzibur Kutche Kutchem. So therefore the Pasuk's telling us that also this Zivche Shal Metzibur is also classified as Kutche Kutchem. And moreover, Ma Oyle Betzafen, just like the Oyle is Avaydis Adon in the north, so to the Zivche Shal Metzibur, besides being qualified as Kacha Kachem, as we said in our Mishnah, it's slaughtered and received its blood in the north. So that's the source, learning it directly from Oyle. But then the Gemara asks, Elehe Kesha Kamoy, but then the first comparison, which was previously brought, that we see the Pasuk is comparing the Shlomim of the Tzibur to the Karmachatas, Lamayasa, what's it coming to teach us? Obviously not for Tzafim, because you can't be learned that Dovim in a Hekish to teach something else through a Hekish. But it is comparing it for what halachic purpose? Says the Gemara, to teach a different halacha, kichatas. To say that the Zivche Shal Metzibur, like the Karmachatas, the Machatas in Necheles Ela Zichichun, just like the Karmachatas, its meat is only eaten by the male Kahanim. After Zivche Shal Metzibur, Le Zichichun also is telling us that this Karban Tzibur of the Shlam on Shavuos is also only eaten for the male Kahanim. On that asked the Gemara, Omli Abaya. Abaya said to him, if that's the case, that you have it near Chatas, it teaches that halacha. So then, Gabi El Nazir Dechsev, and then take the ram of the Nazir, which is brought when he's bringing his conclusionary services, or his karbanis, when he's finishing his Naziris. Dechsev, the Pasuk says, Bemidbar, Behikrevis Karbani Lashem, he brings his karban to Hashem. So he brings Keves Ben Shnasei Tamim Echel Oila. First, he brings a lamb that is in its first year, that's unblemished as a carbon oila. Then he brings v'kivsa achas bashnasa tamim lachatas. He brings a she lamb that's in its first year, that's whole for carbon chatas. And v'ayel echad tamim l'shlam. And he brings one ram that's unblemished as a carbon shlam. Chatas oila and shlam. So on that asked Abaya, so hachin nami neimen dihikash akasav lachatas. So you're saying if it says a shlamim ner chatas in the pasuk, it compares it to be Lezichichunah, so in this Pasuk, by the Ayal Nazir, that also compares in the same Pasuk to the Karmachatas, it should also make a comparison and say the same idea. Machatas in Necheles in Lezichichunah, just like Karmachatas only eaten by the male Kahanim, Af El Nazir, Nami in Necheles Lezichichunah, also the male, the ram of the Nazir should also only be eaten by the male of the Kahanim, but we know that it's actually eaten even by their wives, by their family. But why not? You're saying that's what the Hekish, when you have it near Chatas, should tell us. And that answers the Gemara, Hachi Hashta, can you compare the two halachas, that what we're talking about by the Zivche Shal Metzibur and regarding the El Nazir? Hasam over there by the El Nazir, Kivin the Chsiv, since the Pasuk says in Mamidbar, V'lokach ha-koyin es azraya b'shelim in the aisle, that the koyin takes the cooked foreleg of the ram. So Mechlal, the inference is the kule, that the rest of it, obviously, Bailam Achille. You can't tell me it's the male Kahanim who have to eat it, because the Pasuk is explicitly saying he only eats the forearm. Obviously, the rest of it is eaten by the owners. But the Gemara still asks, fine. But Zrei B'Shelem Mia, but at least that cooked leg, Loy L'Sachel El Zechakuna. But at least that part let it be eaten only by the male Kahanim, because that is being eaten by the Kahanim, and that should be compared to the Chatas, that's only going to be eaten for the males and not for the females. So the Gemara Kasha, that is a difficulty, because the Pasuk is comparing the El Nazir to Chatas, and at least the part that is for the Kahanim should then be eaten only by the male Kahanim, like a Chatas. Or says the Gemara, another approach. V'Bayisim, if you want, you could answer the question and say, no, because Kachi Ikri, the Zrayi B'Shela, this cooked forearm of the ram, is called holy. Kachay Kaddishim Lo Ikri is not called holy of the holies. In other words, from the fact that the Pasuk does not write regarding it Kachay Kaddishim, so therefore we could infer that it's not being compared to Chatzis for this purpose to give it the stringency of Kodesh Kaddishim, that it's only eaten by the male Kahanim. Because the Pasuk is explicitly excluding this when it's calling it Kachay and not Kachay Kaddishim. Now, Rashi points out, although by the Shalmei Tzibur, where we are comparing it for chatas for that purpose, that's only eaten by the male kahanim, even though the pasuk only calls it kodesh yul Hashem l'kain, and it doesn't say kachay kodeshim. So how can we have that? Why the discrepancy then? Why by Shalmei Tzibur could we say that it is only eaten for the zichrei kohanim by comparing it to chatas? Says Rashi, because since it says not just kachay but kachay l'Hashem, so therefore that's not excluding it from the hekesh, because you could say as if it said kachay kodeshim. Because when you're saying something holding for Hashem, then it's not saying that's only holy, not holy the holies. Because saying Hashem, and it could be kachay kaddishim, and therefore for that halacha by the zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, we compare it to chatas for zivchei chuno. But by El Nazar, even for that part that the kahanim do eat, the Yizrei b'sheila, even that is only calling it kachay, and therefore it's eaten by their whole family and not just for the male kahanim themselves. And then the Gemara concludes. So fine. So ve'el l'mai hilchas ha'iskish. Then for what halachic purposes is in this pasuk that we brought regarding the El Nazar compared to Chatas, you're not telling me that it's comparing it to have to eat it by the Zichri Chuna, because saying that everyone could eat it, the rest, even the owners, and the Zrei B'Sheli, even the family, the wives of the Kahanim. So for what is it comparing it to the Karma Chatas? Meaning by Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, you're saying you're comparing it to Chatas to tell you that it's only Zichri Chuna. Here you're not. So for what is it comparing? So Amar Rava, he says, it's coming to teach a different halacha. Shem gilach al echad mishlashton, that if the Nazir shaves off his hair after bringing one of the three karbanas that he's supposed to bring, yatza, he has fulfilled his obligation. And in other words, not like we thought that we're learning out the El Nazir from Chatas, but rather it's the Chatas that's learning out from the karban shlamim of the El Nazir, which is teaching just like the ram that the Nazir brings. If he only brings that karban without bringing the karma chatas and the oil, he has fulfilled his obligation, like the pasuk says in Mamid Beperek Vav, that va'achar yishta nozer yayin, that afterwards, then the nozer could start drinking wine. Now, the Brisa says in the Sefri, what does it mean, achar? It says in the after one specific carbon. That refers to the shlam, the il nozer, because the primary cutting of the hair of the nozer, which is one of his other requirements, is contingent on his carbon shlam. The way we know that is because he has to take his hair and put it beneath the pot that's cooking of one of his karbanas. Like the pasuk says, Ala ish asher tacha zevach hashlamim. He should put his hair that he shaved off on the fire that's beneath his karban shlam. Because the Braisa teaches in the Sefri, it says that he cuts off his hair pesach oil moed. What does it mean in the entry opening of the oil moed? That's referring to the karban shlam. If he brought the shlamim, then he shaves off his hair. Why? Because it's as if it's saying that the shaving off the hair of the Nazir is contingent on something that it says regarding it, v'shachat pesach el-moed, that it has to be slaughtered by the opening of the el-moed. That refers to the shlam, as the pasuk says of a yikra, as we're going to actually quote later on this daf, because the Braisa says, wait, maybe no, it means literally he has to shave his hair in the front of the el-moed. And the Braisa says, you can't say that. That's disgraceful. Must be it's referring to a type of a carbon that it says it has to be slaughtered, pesach el-moed. That's the shlam. That's the primary one that he could shave up his hair. And that is comparing the pasuk to chatas and oil, saying that there also, if he only did the chatas too, and then he shaved up his hair, that he also will have validated that it's actually learning the chatas from the el-nazar and not the el-nazar from the chatas. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, now moving down to the category of Kachim Kalim, the lower level Karbanas. As the Mishnah says, Hatayda, the Thanksgiving offering, which is under the general category of Shlamim, the El Nazir and the Ram of the Nazir that we just brought, which is a Shlamim, which is also Kachim Kalim, these are what's known as Kachim Kalim, which means to say that there is no halach of Me'ilah, misappropriation on them, as it is by the Kachay Kachim that we brought in previous Mishnahs. Moreover, shchitasim chamakam bazara, the slaughtering of these animals could be anywhere in the courtyard. It doesn't need to be in the northern part of the courtyard. Now, b'dam and toin shtei matan shein arba, their bloods need to be two gifts that are four, as we explained in previous Mishnayos, two opposite corners of the Mizbeach, v'nechal m'chala'ir, and they could be eaten throughout the whole city of Yerushalayim, as the Gemara will explain, l'chal adam, for any person, meaning even for non-kahanim, b'chal maichal, they could eat it however which way they want to, l'yom v'layla, for a day and a night. The way we know that is because actually by Toigda that it actually says the halacha of a day and a night. It says, B'yerm karban le'yechel, on the day of it, sacrificing that you eat it, lo yenich mimenat b'yk, you can't leave it over till the morning, which means that day and the night that follows it. Now the Braisa teaches, it says in the pasuk, Toigda shlamav. What do you mean shlamav? To include also the shalmei nazir, which is the other halacha of the el nazir we're talking about in our Mishnah. That's how we know that these two have to be for a day and a night. However, although it's really throughout the entire night, but as we said previously, it's only at chatzais, we limit it rabbinically up until midnight. Now, continues the Mishnah, Hamur Mehem, those parts of the carbon that are elevated from it, for example, by the carbon Taida, you have the thigh and the breast that are like other shlamim, are separated and given to the Gehanim, because the Taida is compared to a shlamim, as the Pasuk says, Zevach HaShlamim Im Al Taida, as it says in the Yikra Perek Zayin, so it compares the Taida to the shlamim. Now, additionally, by the Taida, there's also the four different types of breads, which each type has 10, and one of each 10 is given to the Kohen, like it says, Echad Mikol Karbon, one from each one goes to the Kohen that throws the blood. And now, so too, regarding the El Nazir, what's elevated from it to the Kohen is the cooked Zraya, and also the Chazan Neshek also applies to the El Nazir, just like the Taida, and additionally, there are certain breads by the Nazir, which he has one Challah, that's matzah, and he also has one rockig matzah, one wafer type. Again, one of each of those two types are also given to the Gehanim. Now, those murim, those elevated parts are given to the Gehanim, are kayetzah ben, have the same halacha like the rest of the carbon, meaning that they can be eaten in the entire city of Yerushalayim for a day and a night. Ella, however, it's not eaten by the owners, but rather shamurim nechal kahanim. These elevated, separated parts are eaten by the kahanim, l'nesheim, and for their wives, like the pasuk says in Meyikra Yud, v'eschaziat nufa, etc. Atu v'necha b'nesecha. So it can be eaten by their wives, u'levneim, l'abdeim, and their children, and by their servants, by their slaves. Now the Gemara explains this halacha that we said that it can be eaten in the whole city. So turn the one in the braisa. The pasuk says in Meyikra, eschaziat nufa, the breast that of waving, and the thigh of elevation, toichlu b'makom tar. Moshe Rabbeinu told to Aaron and his sons, it should be eaten in a pure place, because this is in Parsha Shmini, by the Shmini Lemelum, which was the eighth day when they were finally dedicating the Mishkan, so there were many karbanos that were brought over there. So Moshe Rabbeinu told to Aaron that these parts, which were taken off the karbanos, should be eaten by the Kahanim in a pure place. Now, Amr Ibn Chami says, how do you translate this pasuk b'makom tar? What, and the previous karbanos that were mentioned before these karbanos, like the se'irim, the he-goats, and the menaches, and the flour offerings, what, they're b'tuma achlam, they can be eaten in a state of impurity? Why here, when it's talking about these other karbanos, the shlamim, is it saying that the chaz of a shayik is eaten in a tar place, and what, the karbanos that were mentioned in the previous sukkim of the, let's say, the mincha, the flour offering, is eaten in a tami place? Ella rather, says Ibn Chami, what the pasuk is saying is, Tahar Mechlaushu Tame. The fact that it calls it pure infers that there is impurity, meaning it doesn't use the same terminology as the previous pasuk of B'makom Kaddish in the holy place. Why is it used Tahar in the pure? To say that it's not as severe as B'makom Kaddish, because it's not totally pure. How so? It's in the camp that's Tahar Mitumas Mitzara, that's pure from the Tumah of Mitzara, because the Mitzara cannot go into that camp. But Ritame Mitum Azav, but it is impure from the Tumah of Azav, because Azav, which is a different type of a tumah when he has coming out of his male member, could enter that area. The Ezezel, which camp is that? Zemachni Yisrael, this is the Jewish camp, which this is how it was in the desert, where the way it was is that there were concentric circles. The outer circle was the camps of all the Jewish people, which the equivalent in the times of the Beis HaMikdash was Yerushalayim. As the Gemara says in Pesachim, Nefesam HaZayin Min Aleph, that a Mitzray has to be sent out of all three camps. Now, which means Machne Shechina, which is where the Beis HaMikdash is, and then from Machne Leviyah, which is the equivalent in the Harabayis, and then from Machne Yisrael, which is the equivalent in times of Beis HaMikdash was Yerushalayim. Now the Zav, however, could go into Machne Yisrael, but not into the Machne Leviyah, into the Levit camp, which in the Midbar, in the desert, was the Levim was they dwelled around the Mishkan Ha'edus, which an equivalent in the Beis HaMikdash was Harabayis, the Temple Mount. Now, a Tumah Meis, as we're going to shortly talk about, he's allowed to go even to Machne Leviyah, like it says, Vayikach Moshe's Asmas Yosef Imay, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a Levi, took the bones of Yosef with him when they left Egypt. And what it means, Imay means B'michatzasa, with him in his own camp, in his dwelling place. So, on that, as the Gemara, how do you know that it's referring to something that's somewhere in between, which is Machne Yisrael, which a Mitzari cannot go into, but a Zav could go into? That's why we use the terminology of Tar. But Ve'eim Tar Metum Azav, I can tell you it's a different middle stage. It's pure that a Zav cannot go in there, but Ve'tamim Metum Esmes, it's telling me that a dead person could go into. Ve'ezazam, which camp is that referring to? Zemachn Leviyah. Maybe it's referring to that these things, the Karban Taida and the El Nazar, could only be eaten in the camp of the Levim, not, let's say, in the whole city of Yerushalayim, but rather in the equivalent would be Harabais. So Amar Abaye says, no, because Amakra, the Pasuk before this one says, when in the Shmini Lemeluim, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, V'achaltem Isa B'makom Kaddish, which that was talking about there in that whole topic in that parasha, which was by the mincha, by the flour offering that he was talking about. So it says you should eat it in a holy place. What does it mean, it? You should eat in a b'chaltem oisa. Oisa is like exclusionary term. You should eat in a holy place, which tells you oisa b'makom kaddish. This mincha, this flour offering, you should eat in a holy place. But v'loy acheres, but not a different one, meaning a different offering that comes from flour, which means the lachme toida, the breads of the carbon toida, they're not eaten b'makom kaddish. They're not eaten in a holy place. So what essentially the pasuk is doing is afkits, removing it from the machne shchina, like which was where it was sacrificed, which is like where the mincha has to be. Lamachne levi, it's downgrading it that it could even be eaten in the lamachne levi. But then hader ksib b'makom tara. Then the next pasuk, which refers to actually the carbon toid and all those that are like it, it says it's eaten in the makom tahar, which that's coming to be lenient again and to say that any type of purity is going to be good enough as long as it's excluding some type of a tuma. Because if you would think it's coming to be stringent and to say that, well, it's got to be pure, well, you don't need that, obviously. You can't eat in a state of impurity. So rather, afka l'machne yisrael, it's downgraded again to not requiring machne leviyah, but even it could be eaten in machne yisrael, which again is the equivalent in the times of the future to the city of Yerushalayim. Another interpretation, Rav Amma, he gives a different explanation. He says, when it says in the first pasuk, Aisab b'makom kaddish, you should eat it, the mincha, in a holy place, tells you, v'loy acheres b'makom kaddish, but not another one, meaning the toida and all those which are in that category of kashim kalam, that you don't have to eat in a holy place, which according to Rava, that means afka legamri. It was totally excluding it from any holy place, meaning it could even be eaten out of the walls of Yerushalayim, meaning totally out of all the three camps. Because it could even be eaten in the tameh place where the mitzvah is. But a hader kasav rachman. But then the Torah writes, "Tarichel b'makom tar." The next pasuk, when it talks about the toid and all those in that category, it says you should eat in the holy place. Oh, then ayla machne yisrael. Then it brings it back in to the machne yisrael, and that's how you know it could be eaten in Yerushalayim. Not more than that. Not out of the machne, but it doesn't need anything more than that the other way. And that has the Gemara, but ve'ema ayla machne leviyah, when it's saying b'makom tar, maybe it's including it to go further in, not just into machne Yisrael, but even to machne leviyah. And that says Rabbi, no, l'chadim ma'ilinan. It's making us go in, so we go in one level, l'tartim loy ma'ilinan, not upgrading it two levels. And that has the Gemara, then hi'ochi afukinami, then when you're taking it out, then l'chadim afkinan, when you said that it's not in makom kaddish, then why you should only take it out one level to leviyah, mitartim lemefkin, you should not take it out from two to take it out, it could even go out from machne Yisrael. But another question is, the pasuk already tells us that you can't eat it in your cities, meaning it has to be eaten in the city of Yerushalayim. So how could you say that we would have thought that it means to say you could even eat it out of Yerushalayim and that Torah is taking it back into the Machne Yisrael? So because of these two questions, says Gemara Machvad, rather it's clear, you would have to say the interpretation like Abaya, rather, and not like Rav's interpretation because of these two questions on his interpretation. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, continuing on this category of kachim kalam of the lower level karbanis, shlamim kachim kalam. The shlamim, the peace offering, is also a lighter level of kachim, which chitasim chamakam bazar, its slaughtering can be anywhere in the courtyard, even in the south, as the Gemara is going to explain. The dam and toin shtei matanah shein arba, its blood requires two gifts, which are essentially four. The nachalim chaleir, it's eaten in the whole city, as we said before, where we include the chazan sheik in the shmini lamiluim, includes over there the carbon shlamim, that it's eaten throughout the entire city, as we just brought the teachings before, which includes the shlamim, and which the el nazir is part of that category. And it's eaten l'chal adam, for any person, b'chal machal, in any type of way that he wants to eat it, l'shnei yamim v'layla echad, for 2 days and one night, unlike all the other carbonas we spoke of until now, because that's what the pasuk says regarding as the Gemara will bring. Now, hamur mehem kayitza behem, those elevated parts of the shlamim, which are eaten by the kahanim, are similar, have the same halachas. It's just that the elevated parts are not eaten by the owners, but rather by the kahanim and for their wives and for their children and for their slaves. Says the Gemara Tanabon, explaining the halacha of our Mishnah regarding shlamim, the pasuk says in the Yikra three different times, "Ushchatay pesach elmay, you should slaughter it by the entryway of the elmayit." Later on, the pasuk says, "V'shachatay shlifnei elmayit, you should slaughter it in front of the elmayit," which is the heichal, which is the sanctuary. And again, later on, the pasuk says, "V'shachatay shlifnei elmayit, you should slaughter in front of the elmayit." So you have three different parashiyas by the shlamim, because they're talking about three different types of carbon shlamim. One's talking about when you take from cattle, one's talking about when you take from a lamb, and one's talking about when you bring from a goat. Now, the first one says you should slaughter it pesach elmayit, and the next two say not pesach, but rather lifnei elmayit. Says the Gemara, says the Brice as follows. what are these three different terminologies? What are these three different psukim? So, and when it's talking about the slaughtering, so says the Tanakhama, it's lahachshir's kalaruches b'kashem kalam. It's coming to validate all the directions regarding the slaughtering of the kachem kalam. To say that when it says in front of, it means anything that's in front of the heichel, whether it's in right in front or even on the sides. There's more later when I explain exactly how you see that from these three different psukim. So it says three times slaughtering, which talks about three directions. Kavachamel, it's often. And for sure you know that you could even slaughter it on the northern part of the Mizbeach, of the northern part of the Azara, which is the permanent place that we have to do for Oila and Kachi Kachim. Now, as Rashi points out, it's only because we're going to bring Rabbi Eliezer, who disagrees with the Tanakhama and says it actually Tzafen requires a Pasuk to include it, that it could be done for Kachim Kalim, that the Tanakhama had to say that no, this that Tzafen is done for Kachim Kalim, we know from a Kavachem. Because the Ma Kachi Kachim, if the holiest of the holiest, meaning regarding all the other Kabanas, Oila and Chatas and Asham, where they're not valid to be slaughtered in all the other directions, only in the north. So then Kachim Kalam, so regarding the Kachim Kalam, which is even valid in all the other directions, isn't it a Kabochim for sure that's going to be valid to be done in the north? Because if that's the most valid type of a place, if it could be even done in other places, for sure it could be done in the north. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, he disagrees. He says, Lo Nemer HaKosav, no, to the contrary. The Pasuk, we need one of them to tell you that north is going to be valid by Kachim Kalam, which later on the Gemara is going to explain what's their machlekes. Because he says, Shayachal, you would think, Vahalei Dinhu, because we could actually learn that from logic, that actually north would not be considered Lefnei Oyehel Mayid, and therefore would not be valid to slaughter Shlamim in the north. Because you could say as follows, if regarding the lower level kabanas, which is valid to do it in all the other directions, their place, meaning all the other three directions, which is valid for kachim kalim, is not valid itzla kachim kachim. You cannot slaughter kachim kachim by those directions. So kachim kachim, so regarding kachim kachim, which is only valid in the north, which is using the concepts, are we talking about the object, we're talking about the directions, but Rabbi Eliezer is saying an inverse type of a logic, where he's saying that if those three directions of a Kachim Kalim don't work for Kachim Kachim, so the one of Kachim Kachim, which is more severe, it's definitely not going to work for Kachim Kalim. Tamalayman, that's what the Pasuk teaches, as the Shita Mukabetz brings, it's referring to the three Pesukim, V'shachate Pesach El Moed, Lefnei El Moed, and Lefnei Oyel Moed, to teach you that it's going to be valid even in the north for Kachim Kal. So as we continue to Tamid Beis, ask the Gemara B'Maik and Miflagi, regarding what are they disagreeing, what exactly is the Tanakhama including from one of these Pesukim that he doesn't have it extra to learn out Tzafen, and that's why he's rather learning out Tzafen for Kachim Kal from a Kabbal Chaymer, that Rabbi Eliezer comes to say and says, no, don't include that. Because that pasuk you need to have to teach that kachim kalim like shlam is going to be valid to be slaughtered in the north. So Gemara explains as follows: Tanakhama saw the Tanakhama held, as we said, Tlasa Kroyksi. But there's three pesukim that talk about the slaughtering of the carbon shlam. What are they necessary for? So the Gemara explains: Cha legufe. One of the pesukim are necessary for the halacha itself, which the pasuk is talking about, which is the nibayi pesach oil ma'id. As the Gemara is going to explain later on, that it has to be in the opening of the oil ma'id. Meaning, if there's no opening, for example, if let's say they did not yet open up the doors of the Heichel in that morning, or let's say in the times of the Mishkan that the Levim did not set up the Mishkan yet, or after they took it apart, then you're not allowed to slaughter a carbon shlam. So that's coming to teach for the actual pasuk itself. But then there's still two mepsukim. So b'chad l'hachshit tzdadin, the other pasuk that says lefnei, not pesach, one of them is coming to teach that the whole width of the courtyard that's in front of the Heichel, all of that's going to be valid. In other words, it doesn't have to be literally in front of the opening. That's why it says the word lefnei and not pesach, to say that the whole airspace is included in front and it doesn't have to be directly opposite the entryway of the opening of the heichel. And v'chad, the third pasuk, is lifsol tzidei tzadin. It's coming to invalidate the sides of the sides. So for example, let's say there are certain chambers on the sides of the azara. Even if we said that the space of those lashachis are considered kaidish because they open up into the azara, it's still invalidated to slaughter it in those chambers, as the Gemara says later on, because it's coming to teach us that you shouldn't say, from the fact that when it says Pesach Olmed, it's not dafka, it's not necessarily, because we said it could be anything that's in front of there, even on the sides. So you would maybe say, okay, maybe even Lefnei is not dafka. And as long as the oil is up, you could do it even on the sides of the sides, which doesn't even open up into the direction that's in front. That's why it says a second time, lufnei, to say that no, it's necessarily like this to be at least in front and not in the chambers which are the side of the side. It's not even on the side of the front. Now, but the tzafen lo yitzach kra, as we said according to the Kama, but to say that it can be slaughtered in the north, that you don't need a pasuk, that like you said, you know from a kavo chaymer, if kachem kachem, which are limited, could do in the north, kachem kalam that could do in all the other directions, for sure they could do it in the north. But Rabbi Eliezer Savi, he learned as follows. He said, yeah, the first pasuk, he agrees, chad legufei. One is to teach the halach itself, the nebayi pesach al-mayid, that it has to be that the oil mayid, that the sanctuary, the ulam, is open. The second pasuk, he says, is required to teach that it's valid to be slaughtered in the north. Because as we quoted him, he says a kavo chaymer would actually say that it would be excluded, because he learns the kavo chaymer the opposite direction. As Rashi explains the lumdis, the logic over here in their disagreement, is because the kavo chaymer of the Rabban, he doesn't expound, because he says that the reason why it was established for kacha kachem in the north and the other karbanis in the other directions is because that's showing there's a certain sanctity of the north over the south. And it's not just places that you could do it. So if I could do it all places, I'm sure I could do it there. No, it's a certain kedusha that's only for the kachay kachim. Whereas a lower level carbon cannot be done over there. And that's why you needed the pasuk to say that no, it is going to be valid to be done in the north. And the third pasuk is coming to teach that it doesn't have to be directly in front, it could even be the sides of the front. But betzidet staden, to invalidate the sides of the sides, like it's a kroy, says you don't need a pasuk. The pasuk is only valid in the sides of the front. Why would we think the sides of the sides would be valid? And therefore, that's the how they learn these three different psukim in relation to why it mentions three times slaughtering in front of the oil maid by the carbon shlam. Now, as we mentioned before, that each one of them agree, it says the three times, one says Pesach and two times says Lefnei. Maishnohacha dechsiv Pesach el Ma'id. The Gemara explains this halacha. Why in the first one does it say the opening of the El Ma'id? Maishnohasin dechsiv Lefnei El Ma'id. Why by those two other places does it change the terminology and say in front and not the opening? Says the Gemara, Kamashmol kad Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Dam Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, he says, Shlam sheshachton kaidim sheyiftachu dasas hechel psun. A carbon shlam that was slaughtered before they opened up the doors of the heichel, where there were doors by the sanctuary, it's going to be invalid. Shenemar, like it says in the pasuk, Ushchate Pesach Oil Maid. You slaughter it by the opening of the Oil Maid. What is that teaching? Bezmachu pesuach. When it's open, v'loy bezmachu nol, and not when it's closed. Meaning the word Pesach means the doorway. In contrast, the door itself is the one what opens and closes, but the opening is the actual doorway, and it has to be open. That's the halacha that we learn out from that first pasuk, which both interpretations agreed is teaching us legufe. Says the Gemara, Itma Nami Sotu, we learned that Amar Ukva Bachama Amar Bis Bachanina says Shlam Sheshachtim Kaim Sheyiftachu Das Sehechel. Ground of carbon shlam that was slaughtered before the doors of the Hechel was opened. Psul, that's invalid. Shem, like it says in the pasuk, Veshchate Pesach El Ma'id, you should slaughter it by the opening of the El Ma'id, which means Bizman She Pesach Hechel Psuach, when the opening of the Hechel is open, B'li Bizman Shu Nol, not when it's closed. So to be Marav Masnehach in the West, they taught it as follows: Amar Yaakov ba'Acham Ravashi Shlam Sheshachtim Kaim Sheyiftachu Das Sehechel Psulim. Regarding the Shlam that's slaughtered before the doors of the Hechel are open, is invalid. Now, in the equivalent to be Mishkan regarding the Tabernacle in the times of the desert, similarly that would have a halacha Kaidim Sheyamidu Levim as a Mishkan. If because they were always dismantle and put it together when they were taking the Masais, the traveling through the desert, so. If it's before the Levim assembled the Mishkan, or Ula Acha Shiyivku Levim as Mishkan, or when they already dismantled it, and then they slaughtered the Shlamim, so it's not in front of the El Ma'id, then Psulim, then it's going to be invalid. Now, relating to this, Halacha says the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious. If Mugif, if the door of the Heichel is just closed and not locked, Kanal Dami, that's just like it's locked. It's not open, and therefore that's not going to be valid. But Viloin, if let's say there's a curtain that's hanging in front of the opening, my, what's the halacha? Is that also like closed and therefore invalid or not? So Amr Bzeri says, "Hu atzmoi, the curtain itself, a nasa ilke pesach besuch is only like, to the contrary, like an opening doorway, because why do you have a curtain? Is to show just privacy, but it's saying that we're open or else the door would be closed, and therefore that's still going to be valid for the slaughtering of the carbon shlam. But as the Gemara, goyva mai, what's the halacha if, let's say, in front of the doorway, the opening of the heichel, there is a mound or a piece of wood that's directly in front of the opening, that's interposing between the opening and the slaughtering. But it's open. But there's something like a piece of wood blocking the doorway. My, what's the halacha? Is that considered closed or open? So it says the Gemara, Tashma, come and hit the Tanaglunda Brysa. Basically, he says the following halacha. Said Shnei Pishpashin Hoyu Beves HaChalifas. What's this Beis HaChalifas? So the way the, and some Gemaras have this picture on the bottom left of the Gemara, there was the Ulam that opened, that was the antechamber that opened up into the Heichel. Now the Ulam was wider from the width of the Heichel, both on the north and on the south, 15 Amas in each direction. Now the length of the Ulam, going from east to west, was 11 Amas. Now, by the western wall of the Ulam, which was sticking out more than the Heichel, there were windows where they would, the Nekanim would put their knives on the outer part, which, because they had to slaughter, so where would they put their knives? In these windows, in the back of the wall of the Ulam, on the western part. And therefore, the courtyard that was facing opposite, which was towards the western wall of the Azar, was called the Beis HaChalifas, which, because the word Chalif refers to a knife, because they would put those knives over there. Now, in those two walls, which stuck out on either side, there were these small openings. As the teacher in the Bryce explicitly, Rabbi Yehuda said that there were these two openings that were in the Beis HaChalifas, which was open towards the western side. Now, what's important to know is that the Tana holds that the Ulam, the antechamber, was also called the Oyel Mayid. So if you have to be Pesach Oyel Mayid, if there's an opening in the Ulam, it's going to be like it's Pesach Oyel Mayid, which that's what we said is important. So there were these two openings that were in these Beis HaChalifas, which again is the back part of the Ulam. If you're facing towards going into the Ulam, the back part towards the western part, they had these two openings, and Begabin Shmoina, and they had a height of 8. Kedei Lahachres Azara Kula. So that it could validate the entire courtyard, meaning the rest of the Azar, which generally is not included in Lefnei Oyel Mayid, by the primary opening, which is in the front, because these are the sides of the sides. For example, if let's say we're talking about from the wall of the Ulam towards the west, on the northern and southern part of the Beis HaChalifas, and for sure in the Beis HaChalifas itself, which is the area behind the Ulam, these two openings validated the whole Beis HaChalifas, which according to Rashi, that just means to say the area that's behind the Ulam, which is a parallel to the Heichal and the Kacha Kachim, for its length and its width, because now it's called Lifnei, because now there's an opening from the back part, which is opening to these things, and the Ulam is considered the Oyel Mayid, so it's Lifnei Oyel Mayid, which later on the Gemara is going to ask, yeah, but there's still the sides. The sides of the Ulam are not going to be Lifnei, which is on the sides of the Ulam going towards the Tzafen and Darim, that seemingly there's no opening for there. But that's what the Bryce is saying, that the reason why they had these windows was to validate the entire Azara all around Lachilas Kachi Kachim, to be able to eat Kachi Kachim, because at this point the Gemara assumes that for eating also requires Lefnei Oyel Mayid, it has to be in front of the Oyel Mayid, which later on the Gemara is going to tell us that to delete eating, because that doesn't need to have Lefnei Oyel Mayid. Ulishchit is Kachim Kalm, where that for sure we said, and to slaughter Kachim Kalm, like the Shlam, that has to be by the Pesach Oyel Mayid, that now that's going to be valid all around the Azar. Says the Gemara, to answer our question, my love, so isn't it telling us, the Ikka Kamayu, that is in front of it, a height of Shmaina, meaning when it says that Gavan Shmaina, the Gemara assumes, it means to say that there was a mound that was 8 amas high as protection to block the opening so that it shouldn't just be visible to anyone and have access. So obviously you see that although there's a height of a mound or whatever was a wall that was made out of wood that was blocking it will not invalidate, because if it would invalidate, then it's not going to help to say it's going to be Pesach Oyel Mayid, which was the whole purpose of these pishpashim. So obviously that's not a problem. So it's going to be a lie. There was no proof. The gavay ninu shmeinu. When we say there was a height of 8 amas, it means the openings were at a height of 8 amas, but not that there was something else blocking it at a height of 8 amas, and therefore we don't know anything regarding blocking, if that would be valid or not. Now, on this answer of the Gemara asks, Meisavi from a Mishnah Masechtas Midas. The Mishnah says, Kol ha-sha'ar m'sha'ar yisham, all the gateways that were in the Beis HaMikdash, gavan esrim amah, their height were 20 amas, v'rachvan esrim amah, and the width was 10 amas. So you see, a height of a gateway had to be 20 amas. How could you say when it's saying the height was 8, was referring to the pishpashin itself, and not to the thing blocking it, if we say they all have to be 20 amas and they can't be 8 amas? Says the Gemara, no, pishpashin shani. These windows were different because they were small openings. They weren't utilized as entryways and exits. Yeah, entryways and exits had to be 20 amas high. This was only here just as a namesake to validate the Karban Shlamim, and that's why they were there, and therefore that's an exception. That could be it itself was only 8 amas high. So the Gemara says, fine, but as we alluded to earlier, there's a difficulty on this Braisa. You're saying the Pishpashan were there to validate the whole entire Zara to be Lefnei Olamayit. Problem is, Ve'ikat Tzdadin, there are the sides, meaning the airspace between the wall of the Ulam to the wall of the Azara on the north and the south, which is behind the openings, and you're not going to have any element of Lefnei, not the one that's in front of the Ulam, and not the one that's behind. So how can you say in the Braisa, Lachshe Kol Azara, but the sides don't have opening to any, the back has, the front has, but the sides don't? Says the Gemara, no, the Ma'ayelahu Bekeren Zavis, that actually, these openings that they made into the Ulam was not directly in the back. It was actually made on the corner, which was that part of the opening was towards the north, and so to the other one, meaning part to the north and part to the west. No, so the other one was part to the south and part to the west, so it got both. It got the sides and the back. So the Gemara asks, okay, fine, but still, how do you consider the whole Azara? Achoy beis hakapiris. The 11 Amas, that was the airspace between the wall of the Kodesh HaKodeshim and the wall of the Azara towards the west. My, with what are you going to validate slaughtering over there that you said the whole Azara is kosher? That's not open to anything. The Beis HaKhalif is on the sides, which is the extended part. But if you go through the Heichel to the Kodesh HaKodeshim, that wall is not open to anything. And that says the Gemara, Tashema, come in here, because the Amar Rami bar Bihuda Amar Rav, he says that actually, Lul Katan Haya Achari Beis HaKapars. It actually was like a small little hole, a small little window that was opened from the Ta, which was this chamber that was behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that actually opened up to the airspace of the Azara, which some Gersais take out the next words, Gevayish Mein Amas, that was 8 Amas high. Now, the reason why there was a hole even coming out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, from the chamber behind it to go to the Azara, was Kedei Lahakshe as Azara, so that it could validate the courtyard, Lachilas Kachem Kachem, to eat the Kachem Kachem, or the Shechidas Kachem Kalem, and to slaughter the Kachem Kalem. V'hain Dechsev, and this was the Pasuk Divrei Yom Aleph, that Shnayim Lepar Bar, which this Pasuk is talking about the amount of guards that they had standing in the base of Migdash to guard all the entryways. It says that there were two sentries that they stood to the outside. Which, what the outside? That is the small hole that was on the outside. As the Gemara explained, Maila Parbar, Amarabar Abar Shila, Kaman Damats, like you say, Kalape Bar, towards the outside. Meaning, behind the walls of the Heichel and the Kachem Kachem, there was this small little hole, which was to validate that even there is going to be Lefnei Pesach Oil Mayid, by having, opening up into the Kachem Kachem, which opens up in the Heichel, which opens up the Ulam, which is being part of the Heichel, and part, there's all part of the Oil Mayid. And because of that small little hole that's behind, now you covered the whole entire area that is an entryway no matter where you are. That's what it says, that they had two guards protecting even that small little hole there in the back, because like we said, there was an opening there to validate Kol Azar for the Shechit of Kachem Kachem, that there's a Pesach no matter where you are in the Azar. And therefore, like we said in that Mishnah, you can slaughter the Kachem Kalam, that of Shlamim, B'chol Azar, in the entire courtyard.